Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. That's right. You know who that is. Petty Hawk in here. I can already tell it's going to be one of those days, but I'm going to try to hold back.
We got an avatar in here, a transformer. So,
We got a transformer in the building. We have Jelani the Great. Jelani Woods is in the building. Former Cavalier, great tight end, all ACC. And man, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. What's good, fam?
Man, what's up, man? It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me on here, man.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
Yeah, bro. We so proud of you, man. We all watching the draft. I think all of us had a collective smile on our face. I know you and the fam were celebrating like crazy, but I know all of us had that smile on our face. Like, yeah, we knew.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it was a blessing too, because, you know, going throughout that whole process, pretty much all I was hearing was like my numbers was coming down big time. So first starting off, of course, I heard earliest was going to be fourth, but I was a fifth, sixth guy. And then, you know, with my head, I was like, man, I know I have a lot to prove. So I went with that. And then, of course, put my name in the portal. Then going throughout the, you know, whole weeks, months, the whole process, just interviewing, doing what I have to do. And then, you know, proving people wrong. And then since then, like, the numbers was coming down. So I started hearing third, fourth round. Then I started hearing second, third round. And I even heard a little bit of, man, he can mess around and jump into a late first. So, you know, having the blessing to be able to put my parents, you know, I told them, so I ain't gonna have no party on the first day, but I'm try to get the family together on the second day, because I felt like, you know, that was a good thing to do. And then, so enough, you know, God willing, lucked up, got in the third round. So I had my whole family at the house when I got the phone call. So, you know, that was very much a blessing.
Nice. You was a realist, man. I like that. And you always been a realist, and we'll get to that as we
that's go through. Awesome. Well, bro, let's talk about let's jump right into the East West Shrine game. You know, that senior all-star game, man. You went down there and showed out, bro. Tell us what that was like.
It was great, honestly. I would say the main thing I wanted to prove, well, with me, of course, you know, everybody was talking bad about me because just they didn't know who I was, I would say, in general. So, I wasn't healthy throughout the year. So, of course, nobody knew that to a certain extent unless you, you know, follow UVA football. And then so coming into that week, pretty much with me, I was so-called still an unknown, which I didn't understand. But first day, I just got after it pretty much. Like, I ain't care who was coaching me. I don't care who I went against. I just tried to, you know, do my thing, be Jelani pretty much. And then, you know, I was 100% healthy. So I took every rep and I made sure I capitalized off of it, which I did. I kid you not, I think I won every single rep being down there. Damn. No matter if it's blocking, route running, I run every rep, caught every ball, and, you know, just had to prove a point pretty much. And it was a very successful week. Then I also had the blessing of being coached by the Colts pretty much. So that was definitely a real good, you know, thing for the future. So,
when did you start feeling like 100%? For the folks who don't know, he battled a high ankle sprain, and that's not something a lot of guys sit out with the injury you had. I'm going to put it like that. But when was that day when you finally was like, yeah, I'm 100%. They in trouble.
Made my decision. I went off to Cali to train. I got with this specialist. She works on like Eastern Chinese therapy. And he told me, like, the reason I still have a lingering ankle injury was because my hips were like super tight and out of alignment. And I didn't know, like, your whole body is connected. So that's why my ankle was still injured and I wasn't able to keep, you know, it wasn't progressing pretty much. So I got my hips worked on, got my whole leg worked on. Next, you know, like the next day, I kid you not, I didn't feel no problem with my ankle. And I didn't have to get taped, anything. Like, I was perfectly fine. Then I went a couple of weeks training-wise with my ankle being healthy. Then I shipped off to Las Vegas for the Shrine game. Then even first day out there, it was amazing. So I give all the credit to him because he got me right instantly. And then I was so happy about that it was crazy. I had to do what I can do.
Cub, love that you said that, because Cub get on me, and we get to me later, but he get on me because I don't take care of my body and I don't get it aligned. So He smiled when you said that.
Right, but it makes that big of a difference, though, man. And you only know what you know. Man, we had Joey Blunt on. You know, they were talking about, you know, he was saying that they unlocked his ankles, you know, all these different things, everything in alignment. Man, he said, that's why I went out there and ran that 4.3 and some change, you know, because we were all like, wait, what? You
same, know? Same yeah. here. Yeah. Because with me, training-wise, after I got my body, so I was like, I could tell I was so tight. And all that, it was a big difference with me, especially with me. I'm a big guy, and then I'm running all the time. And, you know, I'm doing uncharacteristic stuff as a guy my size anyway.
Facts.
So I should take more precaution into my body, which I did when I got out there. And I turned, like, 2 massages every week and had the Eastern Chinese therapy do work with me once a week. Then literally by the time it got to combine day, like, I kid you not, I felt like I was a 5'5", like, God, slot God, like I felt tremendous, and I felt like very, like, you know, loose, very, you know, strong. I just felt incredible, and I ain't never felt that way none in my high school or college career ever. So it was awesome.
Dang. Bro, because we were just hearing that coaches were raving about you. You know, we was getting reports. It was like, yo, he done hit the Shrine game, killing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we saw you play. I mean, you know, it was stuff that we knew you could do when healthy. You know, because when I think back, you know, to your last year, you know, against Illinois, you towed their tails out the frame. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just like, bro, you were out there, you were fast. They could not cover you. You know, so I was just like, ooh, boy, this is going to be a season right here. And then them jokers start, you know, teams start getting scared. The big tight end come across the middle. Them DBs was going so low. They did not want that work. They did not want that work.
Definitely right. You're right. And that was I always like try to say. I don't care who it is. Like, you know, you're going to get done the dirty way. And that's just how, like, that's just like my motto. So
you're going to get done a dirty way. I like that.
Yes, sir.
Like, yeah, I think on the other podcast, we talked about just my motto, how I go. Like, I feel like nobody stopped me, and that's why I chose zero. Like, it's always a reason for everything. So, it was crazy. I'll take that.
So, when you got to the All-Star game, being that you were known as when you came to Virginia, you was known as a run-blocking type of tight end. And then they see your physical attributes, and they see all the receiving yards that you had when you were here. What was the biggest question mark they had on you, in your opinion?
Of course, they was just like, "What happened?" Every coach, every scout that I talked to at East West Shrine, and they were like, "Okay, tell me what's up," because they told me they was like, "Man, you are no radar guy. Like, we did not have you on the radar at all." Mm-hmm. To a guy like, now I'm one of the top guys, tight ends, you know, on the radar, and they was like, "Okay, explain. We want to hear your story. Explain everything to us." And then pretty much when I explained, like, okay, like with the scheme we did at Oklahoma State, of course, we did a lot of, pass blocking, run blocking stuff to help the O-line.
Yep.
And then we didn't throw to the tight ends. That's just not who we were. So I knew to get to the next level, I need the passing aspect to my game. So that's the main reason me transferring. And, you know, Virginia just gave me the opportunity to catch the ball pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then so that's exactly what I tell them. And they was just like, okay, now we understand. Then when they go back and talk to my old coaches, because I don't have no bad blood with nobody. Like, that's just who I am. I don't burn no bridges. I try to keep everything, you know, neutral or to the best as possibly can be with, like, connection-wise and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So when they went back to my coaches, they pretty much told them the same thing. They understood, too. So they was like, when they came back to me, they was just like, man, like, okay, you told us the truth. You know, everything just checked off the boxes pretty much for them. So it just, you know, helped me out in the long run.
That's dope.
Wow. So after, you know, you jump down there and run a 4.6 on their ass at the combine, bruh, I mean, everybody was scratching their head looking at their clock like, wait, did he just really at 6'7", 260 really just do that? You know, what, vertical jump 34 and a half? I mean, what was it? 34, 36, something up there.
Yeah,
he knows.
Yeah, 37.
See, my he know. Yeah, I'm just sure, asking.
I'm showing you a inch. My bad.
Bro. Don't cheat him off no inches, man. He looked at you like, what?
Bruh, bro. I mean, yeah, I know they had to be wild, man. And so then, as you were, you know, going, you know, and it, like I said, it'd be different if it's an accident. Oh man, you know, he had a great trying game. Oh well, you know, yeah, he was outstanding at the combine. Well, let's see how he does at his pro day. So then the pro day rolled around, and what happened?
Oh, I got to see that first up close and personal.
Had to finish it, man. That's all it is. Everything you do, you got to finish it. And that was just my mindset, because I left off some of the drills on purpose, because at the combine, the way the format is, it's kind of hard on you, because you run your 40, then right after your 40, you do your position work. You know how detailed and how hard the position work is. Yeah. And then right after position work, they try to put the rest of the drills in. And, you know, you kill yourself, like, especially me. I'm going 100%. I'm like, I'm trying to catch the ball, like, no matter where it's thrown. Like, I'm going to go all out. So me going out on position drills kind of exhausted me to a point where I couldn't finish the regular drill. So I knew going into pro day, like, all right, I got the L drill. I know I'm already really good at that. So I know I'm just going to keep that off to pro day. Then the shuttle, I knew I was really good at that, so I just pushed that off. And then vert, of course, that's just naturally, you know, God-given talent where I played basketball growing up, this and that, so that kind of, you know, I'm kind of naturally good at that as well. So it just, like I said, helped out.
Now, was that you with the business acumen, or representation put that buzz in your ear? Because that's brilliant. I want to, for all the listeners, don't miss that jewel he just dropped, because that's business. Well, this is when business trumps the sport in a sense.
Actually, it was me, because I was so tired, and I literally after we got done with position where I called my agent, yeah, and I was just like, yeah, man, I can't do the regular drills. And he was like, man, you fine, because you know, we do our testing before we come to the combine a little bit. Like you kind of do a little. You don't want to actually run your testing, but you kind of ballpark it a little bit where you're going to be at. And we knew that, especially the guys we had like at our training, we knew that the field drills were going to be good for all of us. So they were just like, if you do want to do it, you can do it. If you don't, you don't. So that's kind of how it went. But yeah, I called him. I literally was like, man, I'm exhausted. I'm not, I can't do it, because I'm not trying to put no bad numbers up, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Then they got to find a reason or excuse to, you know, try to knock me out or something like that. So, So I waited for that.
That's dope, man. I applaud you for that, man, because a lot of dudes going there playing hero ball at the combine is like, for what? You are the talent. Yeah. They not the talent. You are. Make them come back to your university.
One thing they tell us is they're going to write down your number no matter what. So they got to write. They tell us this literally. They said the scouts have to write down a number. Like, you have to get it, if it's the combine at the pro day, you have to get it somewhere. So they was like, if you don't want to do it at the combine, don't do it, because you can do it at your pro day. The only negative, they say, if you mess up at the pro day, then of course you don't, you know, they're going to write down that bad number. But at least you get time, though. So that was the whole, you know, the keystone to that.
Nah, that's dope, man. Because with a lot of guys with your type of influence and eyes, I'll say this. It worked out for you, and the fact that you came and that you was going to do stuff at your pro day, you brought more teams for guys who weren't able to go to the combine, so it was more eyes on them as well. So that's, yo, I applaud you, man. That's dope.
I would please say that was like one thing I was definitely proud of myself of doing, because I wanted to do that, because I'll be straight up, to be honest, both of y'all, I kid you not, it was so many scouts that be like, man, UVA ain't got no talent. And I'm going, standing on the table to go to bat for folks. And I'm like, what? Like, we got this guy. Then next year, we got this guy. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And I'm like, see, y'all need to get out and go scout and go do what you got to do. And then when they came to pro day, they was like, all right, you was right. Y'all do got some dudes and this and that. So I tell AJ, I tell rest of the teammates, especially the guys that's still there.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm standing, especially during the draft process. I was like, man, I'm standing on the table for y'all. Like, they're kind of doing UVA dirty, but I think they're going to change their mind in the next few years, though. That's especially all the guys we got coming out. So.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, bro. They ain't going to have no choice. So then, drafts rolling around, a lot of positives going on. You talked a little bit about, you know, draft day. Who was calling you, you know, in the immediate days heading into the draft?
I actually had a couple, like, top 30 visits. So I went to New York, I went to Dallas, I went to Atlanta. I was supposed to go to Washington, but I didn't go. But really, I had pretty much all 32 teams contact me. Ooh. Outside of just the normal Zoom meetings. But like after the Zoom meetings, I had a good amount. At least 28 of the teams contacted me, either wanted more information or just, you know, general talks going within the draft. So I know I had a good little buzz behind my name going into draft day.
Man, what'd that feel like, man? I had two. You got 25 plus. What'd that feel like, man? Because respectfully, like, nobody knew of you but you. You was one of one coming here.
Right.
And now, fast forward 8 months later, boom.
It was great, man. Like, I'm very religious. So I say it's time to God, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it was. Like, it was a strategic plan. Mm-hmm. I feel like it happened at the right time. It just, like, everything just kept leading me in a path to shooting me in one little direction. So choosing UVA was really easy. Like, I talk to my parents about it all the time. It was so easy. And going through the draft process, I felt like for me, it was easy. Like, when I went to East West Shrine game, I was just myself. So it made it easy then. Then going throughout the week doing the interviews, you know, I'm very personable. I can talk to anybody. I can have fun with anybody. So I know I left a great impression with a lot of coaches and a lot of staff because they even told me, it was just like, man, you are one of one. Like, you are one of a kind. Like, they even told me straight face to face. General managers told me this straight face to face. And I even had some coaches call me. It was like, man, we know we won't be able to get you on draft night. But we, you know, later down the line, we know we're going to be able to coach you. So, you know, we want to stay in contact with you and this and that. Like, it just, you know, I try to get the best impression no matter who it is at all time. And then, you know, it just worked out in my favor. So everything just lined up perfectly.
Dope.
Right. You know, it's amazing, bro. And so then, the first day of the draft, did you get any calls on the first day? Did anybody call?
I didn't have any calls that time.
Okay. And so then round two starts.
Yeah.
When did the calls start coming and who did you hear from?
Well, I didn't have any calls during day two, but previously, like the week before, I had a lot of teams tell me, like, if you pop up around this time, this is typically where you would be. Thank you. Like, I heard like late second round, a couple picks in late second round. Then I heard a lot of picks in third round. So I never got the calls on the exact day, but they did tell me like we got this pick third round pick 70 something. So we want to take you around this time. Okay. We want to take you around this time. So that was pretty much the deal for me.
Were the Colts a team that said that to you?
Actually, no. I didn't talk to the Colts outside of like the East-West Shrine game, and I had a Zoom meeting with the tight end coach, and we went over a couple of stuff. But I literally knew the plays when we went over the Zoom meeting, so it was like literally an 8-minute Zoom meeting. Then, but I could tell they was very heavily interested from the Shrine week, though.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because I was reading something that their GM Chris Ballard was like, man, I was sweating it out because they knew they wanted you at that 73rd pick and they were just hoping that you were still going to be available.
I actually just talked to him today and then he was pretty much telling me that and then telling me, you know, giving me some more advice and stuff. But yeah, that's the whole stuff, really, the same way. Like when I got up here, officially got up here, you know, none of them seen me outside of like the two coaches that was at the Shrine game. None of the whole staff seen me. I ain't take no 30 there. I didn't do none of that. So when I officially got there and they seen me in person, they was just like, who did we just draft? Like,
who is that?
Yeah, like, it was crazy. It was crazy, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
I bet it was like, hey, man, yeah, basketball not here this week?
One lady actually thought I like was a Pacer play. Like she thought I played for the Pacers or something. She was just like, that, like, yeah, like you play for the Pacers, right? You're trying out for the team, this and that. I'm like, no, I got it drafted me. It was like, wait, what's your name? I was like, Jelani. And they was just, oh my God. It was crazy.
Oh, boy.
Then seeing me, and then, you know, we had the rookie minicamp. So seeing me that first day running around and stuff like that, they were just like, whoa, like, hold on now. Like, you could just tell.
You different,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, bro. You different, bro. You different, bro. It's for real.
I ain't gonna lie. You move different when you actually here. So, like, that 4-6 you seen at the combine is way different than actually being here. Because here, you know, you in front of the coaches, so you moving faster, you trying to be quicker. Like, so it's just like everything, your whole demeanor changed when you actually here. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the game is faster. The game is faster at that level. And you, I'm telling you, the first Sunday when that shit, when shit is real, you're going to see how much faster the game is. You're going to be like, wait, why does everybody look like they moving so damn fast? Yeah. You know, but it's just, that's just the tempo.
And then the crazy, so I will definitely say I applaud the Colts because it's a great franchise, literally, not just me being on the team, because that is exactly how practice is.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when we got into OTAs and the vets are here, when we get into like the 7-on-7 period, like it's a whole thing to adapt to.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, man, like everybody's moving so fast. And I'm thinking like I'm moving fast, but then you watch film. You're like, hold on now, like the DB is on your hip, like it ain't nothing.
He right there.
And you were like, I thought I gave him the best top of the route move. Like, I thought I'm looking at the quarterback, so I'm thinking I'm free. No, that is not how it works.
Yeah, man. Everybody process information so fast, you know, on that level. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Like, they understand just your pre-snap alignments and your stem. Oh, like, a DB will be like, oh, I ain't dumb. I know you coming back here. You be like, damn, he's still there? Like, yeah.
Hold on. I'll give you an exclusive. So, you know, we got like Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. So I literally, we had like a single receiver. I was on a single receiver side. And then typically we try to marry up our feet. So now, like, you know, NFL different now. You don't got to have your inside foot up and all that stuff.
Right, right.
I switched my feet. And literally he knew exactly what route I was running when I did that. And I was like, I switched the feet to run the opposite route that you was going to think I was going to run.
Yeah.
And he knew it exactly. He was on my belt. It didn't even move. Like, it was crazy.
He probably patted you in the ass. Hey, you learn the rook. You'll learn.
Yeah. Literally, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Like, good try.
Yeah.
Tap, man, come on.
Because he probably had been watching you line up all day. So he's like, why is foot different?
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what he do, too. Exactly what he do.
Yeah, man. They watch you on your stance and start like DBs. We be doing our drills. We'll look down receivers and tight ends, stance and starts. Like, oh, okay. Buddy, like, love to put his left foot up, but when he about to streak, he putting that right foot up because he ain't got to do nothing but run straight. Like, okay,
exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So but just learning them nuances, keeping everything balanced, so he ain't trying to tip off no type of
exactly.
Details. Man. Oh yeah, that's crucial. I'll definitely say that.
Yeah,
because I mean that's there any way that a defender could gain an advantage. You know, because I remember playing against Miami my rookie year, and Dan Marino was looking at me. I'm back on the hash, and I'm like, why is he looking at me? You know, and I'm like, okay. And so then he makes a check. I'm like, damn, I thought I was balanced. You know, so he knew what I was going to do, but I fooled him and jumped the route because I recognized the check. You know, from my film study, I recognized the check. Mm. So instead of me doing what I was supposed to do, I jumped the slant. He pumped and then threw it away and then pointed at me and smiled. It was like, yeah, you okay?
Oh, man.
But it's just stuff like that at the next level. That separates good and great. You know, studying the film, learning, bro, any little tell that you can gain, man, it matters.
Hey, Cub, I got a question for you, though, because we're going to teach Jelani something even off that. When you got to the film room, did you get a plus or a minus?
I know he got a minus.
He won't answer it.
I know he got a minus.
If he would have got a pick, he probably would have got a plus in parentheses.
He would have got a plus off the pick. But that he got a mic.
He got a minus. I know you got cussed out, didn't you, cuz?
Who, me?
Yeah, did you get a plus or a minus in the film room off that?
I did not get, I didn't get cussed out.
I mean, not cussed out, but did he say what you doing right here?
So what it was, I had flexibility on that play.
Oh, okay. Never mind. No,
I had flexibility.
Because, so, you know, you get them coaches that be like, be a football player, not a robot. And then when you're a football player, what? Don't be out here doing your own shit, Covington.
Yeah. I knew I had protection.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got a plus.
I have flexibility on that.
Right. Okay, cool. So, I thought I had him, Jelani. I thought I had him, Jelani. I thought I had him packed up, dog.
Yeah, I'm getting comfortable now. At first, of course, I was a robot. I'm still learning and all that. Yeah. But now I'm getting more comfortable. Yeah. I'm starting to freestyle my stuff, and which I actually did a pretty good job, like, especially these past 2 weeks of being able to, you know, get out of my comfort zone. Yeah. Kind of like, you know, be Jelani for real.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of how I, like, you know, I'm starting to, like, grow now for sure.
As far as how you line up and the stems you use. Because when you, like you said, you first get the playbook, you're going to be aligned at the appropriate width from the football to make sure the path of the ball between you and the quarterback is at its lowest, and you're going to run right to the spot. And then Matt Ryan, like, hey, Rook, come here. Hey, look, you got time.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. It was just like, man, like, I'm running full speed on certain routes where I'm supposed to tempo a little bit, and, you know, be savvy with the route. There's none of that.
Yeah.
That's dope. Bro,
when you learn those subtle nuances, though, fam, you know, but the biggest part is, to your point, learning that playbook so that you can play fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can play fast because you know what you're doing. You know, you recognize the coverages, you reading things, you know, your checks. Man, then you can give, you know, the body lean, all kinds of stuff, because you know where you're going. They don't. They're guessing. You know what I mean? So that's fire. That's fire, bro. That is fire. How Matt Ryan spin that thing, bro?
Ooh, well, I say like that. That man is crazy. Matt Ryan can throw the ball wherever he wants to, act very accurately, like, without any hesitation, like, he will put it in the right spot at the right time, always.
Dang.
And it's crazy. Like, up to this day, I still got to get adjusted, especially catching a pass from an NFL quarterback is completely different. I'm still trying to get adjusted catching passes from, like, especially like him and stuff. And then
and he's right-handed, too, because you've been catching a left-hander from Brennan all year.
But not even necessarily that. It just comes out. Like, velocity, and he is he's a quarterback that can, what you call it, throw before you even get to the spot.
Anticipation, his anticipation.
Crazy. Like, when you run in a dig route or anything like that, before you even top to break it down at the top, the ball is out of his hand.
Oh.
So you got to be, like, when you snap the head around and get your eyes to the football, literally, that comes into play. And that's not really what I'm used to, because I'm used to actually running my route and then being able to look for at least a second or two. Then pass. So I'm trying to build into the very much anticipated passes, because, you know, in the NFL, the holes are very small now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the windows are smaller. And he won the better QBs, too. And that's a luxury for you as a young player, learning that right now, because if you get in your career and you get a younger quarterback or a not-so-top-tier quarterback, you may get your head around, like, goddamn, dog, what a ball. Like, Matt Ryan would never do this. You know what I'm
saying? So that's kind of how I'm – that's one thing I'm definitely working on now is the anticipated passes.
Cool.
Because, you know, for me, I'm a lot of stuff down the middle, and that's where all the, you know, guys at. So
all them Covingtons is at.
Yeah. Looking.
Before I look back on seam routes, the ball is already out, and it's literally at least 2 feet away from me. So as soon as I turn my head, I got to get my hands ready. Boom, catch it. Ride, like, no breaking down, no nothing. Then post routes, dig routes, just anything down the middle. You know, just being able to get my head around very fast and locate the ball very fast, you know, and catch the ball. So that's definitely the NFL version of you need some work right there. That's right. What I'm
out. I got you. But it's interesting too, though, man, because of your speed and your ability, splitting you out wide, bruh, you know, you still a problem by yourself on one. You putting somebody out there on the island, they better not dream about putting a safety or linebacker out there. They better put a corner out there. And still, he going to be at a disadvantage because you're going to body it. You're going to, you know, a slant route for you. So you do it so many times at Virginia.
That's one thing I will definitely say. The size wise is no different than college. Mm-hmm. Now, is a way ahead of the game, but size wise, when it comes to safety, linebackers, and DBs, it's not really that much of a difference.
Man, you ain't human though, so that ain't. I ain't listening to that, man. You bigger than everybody. Period. It don't matter when you a giant, goddamn. I'm a little guy. Everybody was bigger than me.
When it's the OTAs, I'm thinking, you know, you playing on the game, Stephon Gilmore, this guy, all these DBs that, you know, legendary DBs that you go against. Then in practice, I'm like, hold on, dudes. Dude, little, like, you know. But, you know.
Again, you are a damn avatar, though, but, so respectfully.
At the end of the day, in your head, it's still number zero. It's
still barbecue chicken time. That's what I love about him, because he basically, in a nutshell, saying, in his humble opinion, I'm still going to do me. You got a name,
right?
But I'm still going to do me. Right. I'm going to ask you a question, though, Jelani. Do you watch former tight end greats that are built like you, like who I play with, Tony Gonzalez, the Shannon Sharps?
Oh, definitely.
Jimmy Graham's. We know Gronk. And then you go way back, Cove Winslow Sr., who set the trend.
Now, somebody just told me that, gave me that name. I haven't went and watched the film yet.
YouTube Winslow Sr., not Junior, that went to Miami, but his daddy.
Winslow Sr.
He opened the floodgates for tight ends like yourself to be featured as receivers.
He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
The main one I tell everybody, which I like, fell in love with, was Antonio Gates.
Antonio,
tell me nothing about Antonio. Like, that man was just so dominant for so long. And then I tried his game to mine because the basketball background. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel like I am, because, you know, not all passes that I catch are just like receiver style. Like, a lot of them are bodied up catches.
Yep.
And I feel exactly what he did. Like, he had a lot of bodied up catches where he played big. Mm-hmm. And what I like the most. So that's kind of how I try to translate my game into that aspect.
Phillip and Gates. Phillip to Gates on them damn sail routes was stealing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stealing. And I think their offensive coordinator was Coach Frank, who's our head coach.
Yeah.
So that's all we do.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Cub, he know. Hey, you know your shit's naive, boy.
Yeah. But I want to address something though. He keep bringing up this basketball shit. So you know, I got to go back there. You know, and you know, so we gonna take it back to Cedar Grove High real quick. Talking about you keep
you keep
about
throwing
basketball.
That shit in there. So we gonna address it now.
I'm gonna ask you plain and simple.
Uh-huh.
You are a black basketball player, or were you a hooper?
I was all American.
So you was a hooper?
Oh, I was a hooper.
So you better than Keaton Thompson, number 99? Because he said he's the best.
No, I would say I lost my basketball skills right now. Like, it declined.
Oh, you too diesel. You too diesel.
Has his basketball skills. I can still hoop now, but I would have to be in the gym consistently right now to do that. I'm not.
I got you.
So I know I can't lie to myself. Like,
you ain't
that
a stress four no more. You a banger now.
Yeah. I would definitely say that.
Okay. Hey, yo. So back.
Now, you give me a week in the gym.
Hey, man, stop pointing your finger at me. I'm just joking, man. You ain't got to threaten me, man. You not humans. I believe you. You see that curve? He pointed. Hey, what I say?
We're going dollar for dollar.
Okay, so you saying back at Cedar Grove though, you was the shiznit.
Oh yeah, football and basketball. I was quarterback and I played every position at Cedar Grove.
God dang it, man.
You were a highly rated quarterback.
We ain't talking about that. We not doing this today, Cuff.
What?
Nah, we not doing this today.
Because
here you go, no. Hold
I'm
on, Jelani. KG. Every time we get somebody on here, everybody play goddamn quarterback, and he starts saying, oh, the Greeks, he's played quarterback. I didn't play quarterback ever. I couldn't throw.
I'm sorry, but every
great man, y'all do this interview on your own. I ain't talking about no more damn quarterbacks today. I refuse.
Quarterback at some point. I'm sorry, fam. I mean, it is what it is.
Go ahead, man.
You ain't lying.
Go ahead, man. Y'all go ahead. Talk to each other. I'm going to take a break.
But a highly decorated quarterback, bro. I mean, you put in some work. So tell me what kind of offense y'all ran.
Everything. Cause my all right, so this is why I love my coach to death. His name Jermaine Smith. With me, I could do any and everything. So I was a dual threat arc pro style. Because he wanted me to get any and every offer that was known to man. Like he wanted me to be able to be put in any system in college football. So he developed me into a pro style and dual threat at the same time.
That's what's up. Salute to Coach Smith.
And this is the, I'll give you a fun fact about him. Literally, he started being my head coach my sophomore year. It was my freshman year. We lost in the quarterfinal. No, we lost like first round of playoffs. My sophomore year, we lost the semifinals, the game before the state championship. Mm-hmm. My junior year, we lost the semifinals, the game before the state championship. And then my senior year, we won the state championship.
Okay.
When after I left, they won the state championship again. And then he ended up becoming the running back coach at Georgia State at first for a year. Then he ended up becoming the running back coach at Arkansas now. Nice. And he's been there for like 3 years now. Like, he's that good of a guy that got a NCAA job that quick.
That's dope.
That's hot.
That man said he developed him to run any high school coach that's listening to this podcast. Let me tell you something. Don't be running this old rinky-dink, rooty-poo offenses that you can just dominate your area. You ain't doing your player quarterbacks no damn good. Because then they want to get recruited, and they like, well, can he backpedal? Can he hit? Because your ass got him doing – you in H formation and shotgun running quarterback powers all game, wondering why nobody wanted him as a quarterback. He a damn running back.
And exactly. That was so, I kid you not, one of my senior year, fourth round of playoffs, this is a prime example. We started off the game in shotgun, did a lot of spread offense. We beat the team by 40-something coming into halftime. Came out of halftime, jumped into a pro style, and went the whole second half in pro style, under the center. Power. All right, 38 specials, right down the A-gap pretty much. Like, that's all we did. And then I'm throwing passes, play action from under center. So when coaches like Michigan came in, he literally like, all right, let's see this. I want to see pro style. Flip on the tape. Go to the second half. You can watch the whole second half of the pro style. Then we go, people like, all right, let me see shotgun. I want to see how your feet work your shotgun when you're spreading the ball out. Go to the first half. Exactly what happened. And that's how I got the offer, because I can do any and everything that you ask. So I even had Georgia Tech when they had the
triple stuff.
They were even looking at me.
Yo, that would have been sick right there.
Oh my God. 6'7", 260 running the damn triple option. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't even imagine that. So Hall, on the real. This dude was ranked as the 20th best dual threat quarterback in the country and the 25th best drop back passer in the country.
Hey, bruh, my man, that's one thing Jelani the Great don't do, he don't cap. He don't wear hats.
I'm telling the truth. I have a story to tell. And whoever want to hear, I'm going to tell you. It's just crazy. Like, the path that I was on from being birthed to now is crazy. But I feel like it was a path I was supposed to take.
That's dope, man.
And I'm not going to lie about it.
Salute to you, bro.
So what made you pick Oklahoma State over Michigan, Louisville, K-State, and South Carolina?
So I originally was going to go to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But then they had a quarterback. He reclassified because he was like my competition, who they wanted. Okay. But he reclassified, jumped up to the class in front of me, ended up committing. So he can be there a year before me. So I threw South Carolina out the gate because they didn't tell me about it until it was too late. Then Oklahoma State, they had Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and just the way he was like, you know, the way he was in Stillwater in general, and the way he threw the ball and everything like that, especially being at Stillwater, it was amazing. So I can definitely see myself being put in those shoes. And then with the offense, it was kind of that, kind of the same offense that we ran in high school when we did go to that pro style type of deal. So, you know, I was like, man, it's perfect for me. So I went, you know, went to, I actually went to college early. Mm-hmm. I was mid-year, so
it was great. You went in January, so you graduated in December and then enrolled in
December.
Okay.
2018.
Okay. So you got there early, that early work.
Then the messed up part about that, Mason ended up making a video talking about he was coming back for his senior year. So I actually went. I went for a reason because I was like, well, they was like, well, if you come in early, you have a chance to, you know, play or start for the battle for the starting spot when Mason leaves. So I'm like, okay, bet. Like, I'm already big. They want me to run the ball too because they didn't have that aspect at first. Mm-hmm. Mason was no running quarterback. So they wanted to have that running quarterback that can throw the ball too. So they was like, yeah, you're a perfect fit. 6'7". I was already physically kind of gifted where I can be able to be put in that position, you know, not get hurt as a freshman and stuff like that. So end up going, and literally the week I get there, this man puts out, him and James Washington puts out video because it was like that quarterback receiver duo type of deal. And then it was coming back for their senior season. So that kind of put everything on hold.
Damn. So then you were like, you know what? I'm trying to get in this lineup. Let me get some of this tight end.
Pretty much. Exactly. Pretty much. We just, you know, more like messing around throughout a week, going to Bellum. We play OU. Mm.
How was that?
How was that? Yeah.
How crazy is that? Is that Oklahoma State, Oklahoma?
Everybody try to talk about Alabama, Auburn, but I think they very much sleep on Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, OU. It is blood. Like, it is rival. Like, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, all that, I don't care. If you come out there in the country, in Oklahoma, where there's no college, there's no NFL team out there, so it's just straight OSU and OU. Mm. Boy, it gets dangerous. It's a crazy game. And then every year, so, you know, OU had my first year, they had Baker Mayfield, Hollywood, CeeDee Lamb, Mark Andrews. And that's why I switched to tight end, because of Mark Andrews. That week we had to impersonate, somebody had to impersonate him, and I was his same size and speed-wise and everything like that. So they was like, yeah, we need you for this week to do this. And I ended up killing. I kid you not, killing our starting defense at tight end. So they was just like, the next day, like that next morning after the game, they brought me in at 9 a.m. and just like, man, we really want you to switch. We feel like, you see what you did here? Now just apply this to an actual game. And my coach was like, man, you won't be here in 2 years. And he was like, do you want $10 million in your bank account? And I was like, of course. And he was like, man, I don't think you'll be here in 2 years if you apply yourself and just, you know, become the tight end that we think you can become. So I'm like that. Like, I'm trying to get on the – like, my mindset this time, I'm like, F quarterback. I'm trying to get on the field. Like, mm-hmm. I had so much fun at tight end, so I could see myself doing this. And, you know, I ran with it. I ain't even call my parents until later today. I was like, yeah, like, I just was tight end. And my dad was like, okay, cool. Like, that's just how it was. They knew how I was, and they knew my mindset. Whatever I put my mind to, I'm going to do, and it's gonna, I'm going to accomplish it at a high level. So it was smooth, man, like, easy process.
Right. But it's crazy. So they wanted you to move to tight end, but damn, they ain't never throw you the damn ball.
Yeah, well, all that slicing.
Make it make sense to me.
I would definitely say that we had, like, Mike Yersich was our offensive coordinator during that time. If he was still there, because he left literally that next year.
Okay.
So he went to Ohio State. So if he would have stayed, I possibly would have got the ball, and I possibly would have been used to a high level.
Okay.
But with him, he's the one that wanted me to switch. And he, you know, I had a great relationship with him. So I think that first year I had, what, 7 catches for like 120-something. And that was my first year just switching the tight end. I already had that. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was just like, all right, I got my feet wet. Now it's time to, you know, take it to the next level. But then he ended up leaving, taking another job, going to Ohio State. And we got another offensive coordinator to come in. And with him, he was more of a run guy anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was his first meme. Like, we gonna run the ball. Which, we did do a good job because we had Chuba Hubbard, and he went over 2,000 some yards.
He was a beast.
So, like, I can't get mad about that because we were having fun because, you know, he was going over 2,000 some yards. So that's why I never, like, thought about transferring and nothing like that. Then that next year was technically supposed to be my year. Like, everybody thought, oh, Jelani's going to blow up this year. Like, this is going to be his year. Then we had a lot of issues that happened throughout the year. And then with mine, I just got frustrated. And I was just like, yeah, like, I don't think this is the place for me right now. So that's kind of how I went about it.
I mean, and you finished up with 31 receptions and 361 yards in 3 years. In 2 years as a tight end.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, in 2 years as a tight end. So then you say, all right, fuck it. I'm jumping in the transfer portal. So what happened there?
Man, Virginia hit, literally, I kid you not, I'm in the car at Oklahoma State. Virginia hit me up. And the first person I talked to was my good man, Coach 2J. He was the first person I talked to because he was recruiting me. And it was like, man, we saw your film already. And I'm like, how y'all see my film? My name just got in the portal about an hour ago. And they was like, man, we saw your film. We wanna get to know you. We recruiting you. We want you to come to UVA, yada, yada, yada. Literally, later that night, Coach Mendenhall called me. That the realest, like, I wouldn't say speech, but the realest talk I ever had. And pretty much with him, it was just like, he told me, now, he ain't really tell me nothing I wanted to hear. He just told me, like, first thing he talked about, what I needed to work on, run game and passing game. Then he was like, we like a lot of things you do. He was like, we want you to watch some of my film and see what we do so we can both be on the same page of what we both want. So I went up watching their film. Then I called him back. And then he was like, how many people talk to you, this and that, this and that. And then he was like, I bet you this. He said, how many people told you they needed you? I was like, none. And then he was like, but how many people told you they wanted you? And I was like, pretty much all of them. Then he was like, yeah, that's the difference right there. It was like, see, we need you. Not only that we want to, we need you. And I was like, after he said that, he caught me. I was like, yeah, like, this, he knows something. And that's just outside of the first talk we had. Then I was just like, man, like, everything he told me was not a lie. Like, then he told me about earning the numbers. He told me about all that stuff. And I was just like, I'm with it. Because I'm like, I already got a point to prove. So I might add that to the bucket to help me check off the goals to get to the what I got to prove.
Right.
So I was just like, that's perfect. And I was like, man, I ain't take no visit to UVA. I ain't do none of that. I showed up day one. I showed up to Charlottesville day one. I ain't know it. Nothing that. Went to hit the ground running with the 6:30 a.m. workouts. Like, I was just like, I'm going to learn all this when I'm there. So I don't care about all that visiting stuff. Like, let's go. I'm ready to work. And that's exactly how it went.
Bro, and I heard, it hit the airwaves. It hit me on the airwaves. Mugs was like, Cuff, they got an avatar down here playing tight end. This dude works his ass off. He physical. He runs like a damn deer at 6'7", 260. I said, wait, what? 260?
Yeah.
They, I was like, they were like, bro, wait till you see this dude.
I was actually 275.
Yeah, you were bigger.
Because I was 275 at Oklahoma State because I did a lot of blocking. So they wanted to handle the ends one-on-one with the ends and all, like, the tackles and stuff. I did a lot of down blocks and, like, pull pin and pull plays. So I had to handle my weight. I'm 275. And then when I came to UVA, I was 275 in the spring. And yeah, I was like, big. But I knew, like, mentally, I was like, man, if I can get down to 258, 260, I know I'm going to be unstoppable. Like, I know I can go crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I got with Enzo, the nutritionist, and we worked together. I literally got down to 256 before the season. That's half of the reason why. That's kind of, I would say, I got down too fast a little bit because that's why I was out the second half of the first game because I caught full body cramps. But then going into that week, I also overworked myself during the whole fall camp and all that too.
Yeah.
So, like, when they kind of chilled during practice, like, I went in every rep. I wasn't doing all of that going into Illinois week. And that's why I had the game I had because I felt mentally and physically. So,
I know Illinois had to be like, what in the hell and why? Why did y'all unleash this on us?
They couldn't game plan for me because I ain't played the first game.
Yeah.
For real. Really?
Yeah, he didn't really do nothing the first game. I remember seeing him in practice from afar and then talking to everybody. I was like, yo, man, who the big dude? It's like, dude, that's the transfer. I was like, oh, all right. I said, we got another Tolley Pojan. He was like, man, listen. He different. And the dudes that was telling me he was different was like Joey and them. Of course, you guys got to check him. So when I saw him the spring game, I talked to Cuz. I said, Cuz, man, excuse my language, people. I said, man, we'll throw him the fucking ball like every other damn summer, bro, because he a cheat code.
Literally. And I didn't even play. The coach did not even let me play in the spring game. I was so mad because I had my family come down. Mm-hmm. Like, we had two plays, so I'm excited. And then coach was like, literally, he was like, nah, you ain't playing. And we don't want to tell nobody about you, none of that. Like, you're going to get a couple passes, you know, and then we take you out. So I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, bro. I think that's the appropriate two words. Cheat code, bro.
He's a cheat code, bro.
Cheat code.
All you got to do is run bang eights, just seam. Let them bend it. Okay. They playing right. Cover two? Oh, zero. I got you.
Yeah,
right.
You're like, I got like, you. Yeah, that ain't
two safety look? Oh, yeah. Hey, yo, just take your time, widen out a little bit, and just turn your shoulders. You ain't even got to just give him a stick. Just turn it.
Because, you know, it's crazy because, you know, with Tony Pojan, y'all similar height, but Tony didn't play to his height. Tony played a small 6'7". You know, so, you know, he didn't go up and get the ball. You know, he wasn't physical with the ball. You know, he'd go down at first contact. And I just be like, that's the smallest 6'7 tight end I ever seen. Then I was just like, oh, is this a similar situation as Tony? He was just like, hey, nah, fam. No. He's like, nah, fam, because I hadn't seen you yet. When I got down there, I was just like, oh, Lord.
That's I was like, yo, he will actually run with the damn ball. Like, he's looking to run. He's not looking to catch and – you know, toe tap, fall. Like, no, he actually think he a little guy when he get the pill.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I credit Coach Mendenhall to, because he even told me. He was like, yeah, we had this guy, Tony Pojan. He was like, man, if you will apply yourself to what we're going to try to make you into, he was like, you're going to do 10 times more than Tony.
Tony had an impressive season, too. That's crazy.
And that's the thing. He told me in the transfer portal. He was like, this is what Tony did, and he gave me the clips. I watched all the stuff. He was like, now imagine yourself in those shoes and tell me you won't be able to do more than this.
Right.
And I was like, Coach, I can't, easy. And then he was like, then show me. And then, like, when you just saying stuff like that, I'm like, all right, bet. And like, it's go time. Like, you ain't got to say nothing else. Like, that's just, like, how I was and how me and him talk. And even during the weeks, like, Coach was like, I have a crazy practice. Then Coach was like, oh, man, that was terrible. Like, you know how he never smiles like this. So I'm thinking, I have a terrible practice. Then I'm going out doing it again, and I'm doing it again, and I'm doing it again. And then he was literally like, no show, no recognition of what I'm doing or anything. He'd just look at me and was like, no, it's all right. And then keep walking, which I very much appreciated because it kept me level-headed, kept me, you know, going hard, and it drove me even more. So, yeah, it was crazy. I definitely say that. That man is crazy.
Yeah, shout out to Mendenhall, man. Hey, Cub, we got to go ahead and get to the shiz naive, because this is the elephant in the room. I've been patient. Petty Hawk been patient, okay? All right? Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, last fucking drive of the game.
No. God. Hey, I'm mad myself, dog, because we got a corner here that played at Virginia Tech, two, 3 years ago, and he watched the game. And he just, that's all he say. And that drives me nuts. Honestly.
Like, what's the, like, because you ain't, look. You ain't, like, you a great dude. You don't burn bridges. So I don't expect you to be nasty. So we can,
I ain't gonna lie to you. I hated it.
Okay, when you heard the first play, which was a quarterback draw, how did you feel about that?
With a lot of stuff, I do understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, because I used to be quarterback, so I understand exactly where they're coming from. But at the same time, like me, KT, all of the guys, we were on the sideline, be like, Coach, like, put me right here, put me right here. We're going to go get it down the middle. And if they cover us, throw it out outside. Like, yeah. This is how we should do it. So that's where the fourth down one came from. When I ran down the middle of the field and then we tried to throw it the back shot because they was going to try to double. We thought they was going to try to double me in the middle and was going to try to throw the post behind me to Rashawn. That's kind of how that came about. But it was too late. It was already fourth down.
Yeah, because they already did the play. Right. When you heard the play.
When you heard the play, when bro, you, what was your reaction?
When you as somebody that's playing heard the play, Jelani, first reaction.
I was upset because I was just like, I thought I was doing good too, so I'm thinking like, oh, he gonna try to put the ball in my hand. Let me make a play. Let me win this for UVA. Like it was gonna be a glory moment. So that's like kind of running through my head. Like I'm gonna make this play. Like we at our home in right. front of the whole the grass. Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're from right. the yeah.
If you make a play right there,
bro, they lie with it. They lie with it. Just run down the hill right then.
Exactly. So that's kind of like, or just give it to KT or somebody like. You know, that's kind of my, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that it was going to be a, you know, a tight end, I mean, a tackle screen, but.
Had y'all ran, nah, I ain't even going to do it, cuz.
Okay, so we had that in for at least 8 weeks in practice. Like, we just never ran it. We had it, we literally had that in for about a good 8 weeks in practice.
And it worked every week?
Well, we didn't run against defense. We just had it in.
Damn, that makes it even worse.
We had it in. We
hey, my dog, hey. Salute to Jelani, man. My dog is a real, he was like, I mean, we had it in, bro. Like, that's just what it was. It was there. Like, when we went down the checklist, oh, shit, there go that play again.
Like, you know, we ain't ran this all year. We had it in. Shit, yeah, what? Let's run this.
They told me, I guess, did so Boulder score against Florida with that play? In the bowl game, I think that told me. So that's kind of how they wanted to go about it too, because that same deal. So that was like the mindset, I guess. But Virginia Tech just played off. They played 8 deep. Then they didn't, like, if you watch the play, they did not move when the ball snapped.
No.
And that's the thing. We was running the ball on them. They were so tired. That's why I was like, the play ain't work because they wasn't aggressive at all.
No, they was in their basing zone because it was a corner backside. And when the reduced split receiver ran the mesh route, the corner just stayed there.
We were going to work on them. They were tired. And that's why I was like, oh, we shouldn't have ran that. They was like, and then when it didn't work, that's when they gained all the energy.
Yeah.
They knew all the energy came back. But with me, I didn't imagine handing that ball to Mike Holland. We on the 4 yard line, though. Where was it? 4 or 3 yard line?
Yeah.
He gave Mike and ran out the A gap. Mike was going to score.
Was there anything said when, like, did you notice during the game that one of your other weapons won't lining up at receiver too?
Ooh. No, I ain't. Who?
Wicks.
She went in the game?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
That's new to me.
He locked in. Good for you, bro. But, you know, he won't end it. Like, that's why. That's so, Jelani, to give you, like, more of a fan perspective of the vitriol and Cove and myself, because not only did we not utilize yourself or KT, like, Brendan, bless his heart, he liked the call, but he forgot his ankle was hurt because it was a gap, and he said his ankle just gave out. Like, he was ready. He said, Hulk, if I was healthy, if you healthy, you probably would have, you know, got to the 1 yard line. But his ankle gave out. But that's when what made, like, fans so infuriated is Dontavian not in there. We got Jelani in there. We ain't using him. Like, it was so many factors that could have alleviated that.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I definitely understand. I completely understand.
Yeah.
I was, now, after the fact, I was like, at the time, I'm not trying to, like, think about it because, you know, we did have that fourth down play, so we could have made it up.
Yep.
But at the same time, going back and looking at it now, like, that is kind of, you know, that makes you a little bit upset, though, because you knew you could have capitalized off of it and going about it a different way. And, you know, you want to win that game.
Because like, if we on the three or four,
like, what was the fourth yard line? Like, we got to score that no matter what. Like, we shouldn't even been put in that predicament. We should have scored immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just kind of the fun with all the weapons we have. That's just
yeah.
part about it.
I mean, if you got Wicks
in, down to third down,
if you got Wicks in the game, just say he done pissed you off and you want to bench him. Just putting him out there causes the defense to be like, oh shit, three back in the game.
You got to know where he is.
We three just, over there, and
we,
I was yeah, at lean.
We just can't worry about zero. Like, if three not dead, respectfully, if three not dead, we could focus on zero. You know what I'm saying? Like, Keaton's a good receiver, but in their mind, mm-hmm. you know, as far as what we've shown on the goal line, not saying Keaton's not, or Grant. We saw what he did in Louisville with the little pick play we had in the back of the end zone, but just mm-hmm. formation-wise, schematically, we didn't help ourselves. And I ain't even talking about the play, but just pre-snap. Put three out there. Motherfucker, oh, shit, go over there. And now everybody scrambling.
It's just crazy because I did not know that. I mean, I didn't know Wicks went in.
Nah, he won't in, bro. He won't in that series. He won't in that last drive. Because, you know, he had
in the whole five?
He had a couple of drops.
Remember, had a couple of drops early.
Yeah, that's
why. Because Billy made the big catches, you know. Yeah, Billy was making some stud catches, boy.
Oh yeah, he made that one giant catch on. Yeah, I remember that. So that's probably why though. Coach Hagan kind of know how to keep Wicks like mentally stable. Like he have to do that. So that's probably why.
Hold on, that was Coach Hagan. Hey, never mind. I don't go against home team, so if home team has something to do with it.
I don't know. It probably could be because Coach Hagan do handle the sub receiver subs. Of course, that's his guy. So
nah, it ain't it. That won't on him. I ain't believing the cuff.
But if he's dropping the ball, you know.
Nah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Something that you gotta like reevaluate.
Yeah, we're using a Nas scapegoat. That's it.
Because my ass ain't a fan. So
Coach Nas was signaling me. So
hey, Dr. Bob, we appreciate you. Signal. Huh?
I said, yeah, he my signaler. Well, we came off the side.
Oh yeah. Y'all did. Y'all came on the sideline. Yeah, hey, yo, sir. See, you just opened the wound up even more and pour a whole gallon of salt in that shit saying that. We was almost home.
Think about that.
All that on the field.
Hey, Jelani, you ain't worth a damn, dog. He said, now to think about it, we was on the sideline when we thought of that play.
Oh, damn.
Man, he got Coach Tony in that thing now, so.
Yeah, no doubt.
What you think about Coach Tony, man, before we get you up out of here?
Oh, I love him, man. Even though I didn't want to stay, well, because, of course, I felt like it was a tight end year where I came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But outside of that, I would have easily stayed. Easily. Like, no doubt about it. And this would have been a time where I felt like I would have been we even talked about it because I talked to them first. And Coach Tony was the coach, but he didn't have all the other staff yet. So I talked to him three times before I made my decision.
Because
I was like, oh, yeah, it wasn't no quick stuff. I was like, I talked to him once when he first got announced. He had our team meeting. I stayed back after. Then I talked to him. And then I was like, yeah, coach, I don't know yet. Then he said a couple of things that caught my eye. And then I talked to him again. I walked in his office, talked to him again. And then I kind of was leaning a little bit towards coming back just because of what I kept hearing about, like, my name in the draft and this and that. Uh-huh. And then also, like, just, you know, thinking about what I could do. And then I was like, oh, my ankle, I don't want nothing like that to happen again or even have an even worse injury. Nick, you know, I'm trying to come out where I got a bad injury now instead of just a minor one. So I was just, like, thinking about all that type of stuff. Then I was just like, well, it is a tight end year, and I know I can work and get put in that top category. I know I can. So that's just kind of how I went about that. But honestly, him, me going through the draft process, I hear about Coach Kitchens all the time. Like, all of them, like, yeah, Coach Kitchens out there with you over there at UVA, right? He's the office coordinator there now, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I even hear about him all the time now. Then somebody told me about Coach Hagans, too. Like, I hear about a lot of the coaches, Coach 2J, too. So I feel like, yeah, you got a really good staff. And it's NFL style now, too, mm-hmm. which is a bonus for them. Because when I came back and I see all them plays drawn up on the board, them all the stuff that we are getting taught now.
Dang.
Which I'm very happy about. So, like, especially Coach Kitchen, he came from the Falcons. So mm-hmm. all the stuff that he looked on the board, the formation calls, all of it is literally the NFL offense, like same. That's what I'm learning now. Wow. So
That's dope. It's
awesome for them. So I feel like they got a big advantage coming out, a super big advantage.
Hey, that's man, dope. There you go, man. They got used. Hey, they going to clip this, use this as a goddamn old mantra to start the season right here. You heard it from Jelani the Great.
You know what I mean? Indeed, indeed. Well, fam, before we get you out of here, man, we usually end with a segment called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that gets on your nerves, really gets under your skin, but you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to overcome it anyway. It can be sports related or not. Holla at us.
I'll probably go to sports, Raul. I'll definitely say I'm not a big, you know, media guy, watch what people say on media. But I hate when people be trying to dictate what I can do, as in my skills, and, you know, try to say stuff to decrease my talent or to put dirt on my name pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that's like a pet peeve. I do hate that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I let that stuff go up one year after the other. But, of course, you do see it because they tag you and stuff and you be on your phone and something like that at times. So, I'll definitely say that is like a pet peeve. I'm like, bro, like, what is you talking about? Like, you know, just like the draft process, everybody just calling me slow, calling me, oh, he big lumpy, this and that, like throwing dirt all on my name. But I'm like, if y'all do your research, I had a high ankle sprain all year.
Yeah.
It's something I had to battle through, especially through the draft process, because everybody want to, you know, say stuff, give their opinions when they don't know the whole truth. So
that
I would definitely say that's like a pet peeve.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really hard to argue with, you know, 598 yards receiving and you missed a game and a half and you were injured probably four or five games and you was out there still. All you do is catch touchdowns. I mean, damn. I mean, really? Exactly. Put some respect on his name, please. Yeah,
you know, you know, Jelani, I just want to let you know, Petty Hawk is always available. Just share the shit that they say. And let me fight your battles for you. Just ask Michael Kaiser. One of their beat writers, when he was at his old team, was talking that shit to him. Yeah, we served him Shut the Hell Up juice. He apologized the next week. So don't got to worry about that. Just ask your boy. Right. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Oh, I got you. I'm going to put some laughing faces.
That's it. Because I'm going to be like, word? That's what we doing?
Yeah. That's right, Brian. We fight them battles for you. We fight them for you. Well, fam, we wishing you much success, man. And one thing I want to leave you with, too, is remember the people that you have around you. They all work for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are the CEO. Your agent works for you. Your financial people, they work for you. You know, publicists, all of those people, they work for you. Know where every dime is going, all right? Because you are the CEO. And if you don't look after you, nobody else is going to look after you like you look after you. All right? I just want to keep that shit a full buck with you. All right? Bro, we here, the brotherhood. You are part of this brotherhood for life.
Facts.
All right? So, stay connected with us, bro. You got some merch coming out, let us know, bro. We'll get it out. Make sure everybody know what's going on. You're doing things in the community. Let us know. We'll get that word out. Bro, let us be your mouthpiece, bro. And, bro, we here for you and we love you, dog.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm about to say I'm gonna definitely hit y'all up because like I love doing community service stuff. So
that's what
I'm trying to figure out what couple of spots I want to do. If I want to do back home in Atlanta or some in like Charlottesville or something like that.
But yeah,
the kids stuff, you know, especially Charlottesville put me on the map. So I gotta show my respect for my respects. Or even for the team or something, doing something for them. So
yeah, well, the biggest thing too, man, is Coach Elliott wants the alumni to come back and be involved. Teach these young boys what legacy is. So it's very important for him that we all come back and we are part of the program and we show these young boys we pour into them so that they can become the next great men.
Definitely, I'm right in there. Yeah, so that's exactly how I grew up. And like I said, Jermaine Smith, my head coach, he was like that for me. So I know I always wanted to be like that type of person for someone, like a role model for somebody else, especially young kids and this and that. So I definitely would hit y'all up if I'm doing anything and being connected or just, you know, simply coming back to a game or something and want to like do something on the side for all the like the fans.
That'll work. And then, you know, Hulk, text him my number so that he has my number. And, bro, we can link up. So when you coming back, bro, we'll get you on the pregame show, you know, or come up halftime and get on the air with us, bro. Because, you know, I do the radio for the game. So just let us know when you think about coming back, bro. We'll take care of you.
All right, bet. I got you. Appreciate right. it.
Yeah, so man.
Kick some ass and look dope while doing it.
Yes, sir. Got
hey,
you.
Hey, man, make sure you hitting that ice bath, man. It's your friend.
Oh, you ain't got to tell me that. I learned my lesson.
My dog.
I'm feeling too good. I'm about to fly back to Cali. I'm going to Vegas Friday, and I'm fly to Cali Sunday. Then go ahead, and as soon as I get that Sunday, I'm going to hit that Eastern Chinese therapy.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up, bro.
Get the work.
Yes, sir. Outstanding. Well, fans, this has been another episode of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And Jelani the Great. We wish him well up in Indy. Until next week, we are out.
Man, a damn avatar.